But there's another terrible trap. And by the way, there are ways of avoiding these traps, but these traps are there that you can, and you can fall into them. Right? I'm not saying that you have to be a works righteous person in order to be a Dutch Calvinist, but it's a danger. The danger for the English Calvinist tradition is a sort of emphasis on experience. How do you know you have true faith? Well, because I've experienced true conversion. I feel it in my heart. I've had this conversion experience. I know for sure in my heart that I believe. Right? And that gives you the danger of basing your faith on your feelings, on your experience, as if faith was not based on the certainty of God's word, but on your experience. Luther and Calvin would both be horrified. Again, this is a trap. You don't have to fall into it, but it's a danger. There are various ways of avoiding the danger, but, well, no tradition is free of dangers. And we'll talk about Luther's dangers in a second. Now, I suggested Luther does sometimes want to say you can know you're predestined. Right? He writes some letters to people saying, well, trust in the revealed God. Trust in the promise of Christ. Christ will reveal the friendly, fatherly heart of God. And God is friendly to you in Christ, and therefore, you don't have to worry that he's going to pull the rug out from under you, you're going to be damned later on, right? You're now a believer, but God really sort of is sneaking up on behind you, and 5 or 10 years later, he's going to take your faith away from you, you're going to be damned. You don't have to worry about that. God is not like that. You can trust his promises. That's the motive that's pushing Luther and Calvin toward this doctrine of eternal security, right? How can faith be certain? How can faith be a comfort and a confidence if you have to always worry about what'll happen next? Maybe in 5 years I'll lose my faith. How can you possibly be confident that God is gracious to you if really you're predestined for damnation? Right? God can't really be gracious to you if you're predestined for damnation, so how could you trust in God's promises? That's the conceptual pressure that's pushing in the direction of believing in eternal security, believing that you can know that you're predestined, which I think is the radical innovation of the Calvinist tradition. It's not really Luther's innovation, because although he suggests that possibility, he's inconsistent about it, because he's responding to another pressure, which Calvin also feels, but Luther responds more powerfully to this second pressure than Calvin does. And the second pressure is this. Faith is supposed to be based on God's word, not on works, not on experience, right? Not on your sense that you believe, but on God's word, God's promise in Christ, called the gospel. And the gospel promise doesn't promise perseverance. Right? There's nothing in the gospel which promises that you will persevere in the faith to the end. Right? You get this promise that if you believe, then Christ gives himself to you, but you don't have a promise that you're always going to believe for the rest of your life. Right? So if faith is going to be based on God's word and God's word alone, then it doesn't seem like you have a way to get eternal security. At least that's how it works out, I think, when Luther is being more consistent. That's why Luther will say, don't think about the hidden God. Don't think about predestination. That's, I think, the authentic voice of Luther's theology, or the more consistent voice. Don't think about the hidden God. Don't think about predestination. Don't argue about it. Just hang on to the gospel. Hang on to that little baby in the manger, the revealed God. That's good enough. It's as if to say, you know, hang on to the faith one day at a time. You'll have some back and forth, you'll have some doubts, there's no guarantee, you don't live with guarantees, but one day at a time is good enough. Now, I think I want to suggest now a deeper and underlying difference, or a sort of conceptual difference, which explains one of the things that's going on here. I think one of the deepest reasons for Luther's divergence from later Protestants, and especially from Calvinists, is his tendency to identify the divine promise, the gospel, with a sacramental or external word. And that affects how you deal with predestination, it turns out. Remember, for Luther, faith in Christ means believing in the gospel promise. Calvin entirely agrees. Faith is always faith in a promise. But I think that Luther and Calvin identify the promise differently. For instance, Luther will identify the promise with the promise in baptism. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Luther, in contrast to Calvin, thinks we're born again in baptism, right? You ask Luther, have you been born again? He says, yes, I've been baptized. Right? You ask most Protestants, have you been born again? They'll tell you about their conversion experience. Right? A different thing to trust in, isn't it? Now, the consequence is, of course, lots of people are baptized and end up damned, right? Not everyone who's baptized as an infant becomes a believer. So just like Catholics, Luther has to say, you can be born again and not be saved,